They say that love and marriage go together like a horse and carriage. But with divorce more and more commonplace in the country, it's fair to say that the horse has been buckling off the carriage in recent times. On a farm, a divorce leads to complication around the division of land between the original farm family and the person, usually a woman, who marries in. This has led to a number of farmers to consider the idea of a prenuptial agreement or a prenup before tying the knot. This week, when Hannah Quinn Mulligan sat down with her mother Kate, her grandmother Catherine, around the farmyard kitchen table for a cup of tea, the conversation turned to prenups. By the way, the door you're going to hear opening and closing in the background is the chimney sweep Liam going quietly about his business, which is wise enough, I think, to stay out of this particular exchange of views.
Jim, come on, good boy, good dog, come on. Good boy. Hey, Gran.
Hey, Mummy.
Hello. Well, how did the milking go?
Ask the master milker over there.
They're lovely. They were perfect.
Have tea first, yes.
So you know the way I wrote this thing about prenups this week? Yes. In the paper, mm-hmm. And it got quite a big reaction.
Yes.
But I was wondering what you two thought about prenups and farms.
I suppose my point was just that if two people get married and say one is an accountant and one is a solicitor, then they're not going to be, the marriage fails, they're not going to be looking at taking half of the other person's future potential earnings. That person's still going to earn a full salary. Whereas if a marriage breaks up and somebody's taking half of a farm, that's your potential income halved for the rest of your working life.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I mean, it's funny that it's become such a discussion point because prenups aren't even legally valid in Ireland right now.
They're not even binding.
No.
And I think in any case, a judge would have to take into consideration the circumstances, like are there children? You know, there are other things to take into account.
Most valuable cow on the farm.
If the intention is of both people in the marriage to work the farm as a business, then that's got to be discussed and decided before you get married.
I think that just takes away the room for things to evolve. And I think the issue for me is that there's still a huge number of women who work on farms every single day but never actually own the land. You know, there's 120,000, 130,000 farmers in Ireland, and yet only about 15,000 are women. And yet we know from CSO figures that 70,000 women work on farms every day, 40,000 of them are wives. And those wives are never really going to have their input validated. And I think if you turn around and say to a woman entering a marriage, hello, here's a plate of scones and a prenup by your future mother and father-in-law, that is going to put anyone off, because a farm is a slightly different thing to getting into business with, you know, a solicitor as well. Yeah, you know, a farm, you're expected to raise children on a farm and you're expected to work the farm as well. And then potentially you're never going to own it. And yet women, we know, are also the main drivers of, say, farm diversification, which is only going to become more important going into the future as well.
So in terms of diversifying in doing, you know, Airbnb or, you know, some other kind of farm enterprise, then really people should say, not look at farming so much as, oh, I'm marrying into land and a farm, but I'm marrying into a business. And if I am going to be an integral part of that business, then I want a business partnership.
I don't know, Granny. What do you think?
Well, I think that the idea of a prenup doesn't inspire confidence to start off with. And, you know, where does the romance and love aspect come?
Well, trust.
Trust is a big thing, yes. So in some ways, it doesn't seem like a very good start. But on the other hand, I think it could work from the point of view that, say, you know, the old adage about walking up the aisle with a farm of land and walking down with half a farm, that it could help sort of unite the two families, bring the two families together and have maybe a better relationship because of the prenup, because of having sat down and talked about it.
Because everybody knows where they stand.
Yes. Yeah.
Or what the intentions are from the outset.
And I guess the prenup isn't necessarily in the man's favour. It takes into account certain things. But I don't know, then do you take into account, like, oh, you get an extra 20 acres of land after a divorce if you have an extra child or something like that? You know, how do you...
very calculated.
It is, but I mean, how do you start quantifying a division of land and property? And the issue is men are still so much more asset-rich than women.
Mm. But that happens in any divorce. I mean, in any divorce in this country, the husband, the male partner, usually ends up about 25% richer having divorced than he was when he was married, and the women end up obviously 25% poorer and usually with the lion's share of childminding and those responsibilities.
And women are already poor because we get usually a lower pension as well in old age and more at risk of poverty in older age as well. So who does the prenup really protect?
But my point is, in this country we have such small farms that really making them economically viable is so difficult. But if you're looking at splitting up that land, it's impossible. It'd be the same sort of situation with inheritance. If the land is continually divided into smaller and smaller and smaller lots, how is any kind of agricultural industry going to be viable?
Yes, that's a very good point, actually.
Would you want me to get a prenup?
I think that's what this boils down to. I think actually this is what we're all in the back of our minds thinking is, would I advise Hannah to get a prenup?
Well, the fact that it doesn't stand up in a court of law is worrying. And yes.
I'd say to be on the safe side, just don't get married.
I think that makes it very simple.
It's
problem solved.
Oh, oh dear.
Yeah. Please.
Oh dear, that was Hannah and her mother and her grandmother advising her just not to get married. And you know what? I feel I have a little inch of sympathy for any man that might go into that kitchen table. He'd really want to have his manners about him. Anyway, on the other side of Limerick, agricultural solicitor Aisling Meehan has a busy practice and she knows what farmers are talking about. Good morning, Aisling. This is not a new topic for conversation. Why do you think it's gaining currency again?
Good morning, Brenda. It's gaining currency because I think for a couple of different reasons, one being the price of land has increased dramatically in the last couple of months or even years. Secondly, I suppose, given the nature of spouses and, you know, typically, you know, on farmers could be they male or female, could be married to, we'll call it professional people who themselves are bringing, you know, have a good income, potentially have their own assets in terms of houses, etc. So It can protect both parties' interests. And thirdly, I suppose where from a personal perspective, where I saw it being very prevalent was that the IFA organised a series of meetings earlier this year in the spring, and it was regional meetings, very well attended. It was on succession, and there was over 2,000 people across those four meetings, and it kept coming up again and again and again as part of those meetings that I'd never seen to that extent before. And even in my own practice, it's surfacing as a consideration or an issue as part of succession planning. So there certainly seems to be a much stronger appetite for them.
And I suppose the question is, they're not legal. So why are they not legal yet?
Because there hasn't just been the appetite from a legislative point of view. There's no reason why they shouldn't. I mean, a prenup is a type of contract. There's no reason why they shouldn't be enforceable. Prior to the Divorce Act, under Article 41 of the Constitution, it would obstruct the enforceability of those agreements, but not so much more. It's just that, I suppose, governments haven't been lobbied strongly enough and that people haven't really wanted them to any great extent. But I know certainly the farm organisations are becoming a bit more vocal about it. I know that the Law Society did a report in 2019 where they called for them to be legally we'll say, for legislation to be introduced to allow them to be legally enforced. But at the same time, I suppose that certain protections will be built in, such that, you know, that there's separate independent legal advice for the parties. They can't be made more than, we'll say, than less than 28 days before an intended marriage. And certainly, you know, there has to be full disclosure of financial means before you go into it. And then obviously you have to have them reviewed, you know, as circumstances change. So if there's kids, if people change jobs, you know, if people, you know, I find I'm seeing a lot now of with couples on farms, you know, where maybe the professional, there will be a professional partner, be the accountant or be the a scientist or a HR type person. And like they're leaving maybe industry and they're becoming more involved in the farm because they have a very unique skill set, which I feel can, you know, they can feel can add to the farm. Because farm, you know, farming is a business, as we all know. And like, you know, small changes can have huge economies of scale. So if anything, you know, I think in that situation, but in that situation as well, also, you know, they're providing an income. And, you know, once the farm is viable enough to provide that income. Just one other thing, I suppose. The other thing just to be aware of it is, like, you know, I know that Catherine mentioned there's that old adage about, you know, you walk up the aisle with a full farm
and come down with half a farm.
And that simply isn't true. Like, I often come across in practice here, you know, that people, I'd say, you know, what do you actually own? And they say, oh, sure, I'm married, so I only own half the farm now. That's not the case. Like, you know, unless you legally transfer ownership of the farm or put it into joint names, like whoever owns the land continues to own it. And like they have the freedom to do what they want with it, be it transfer it or sell it. And they don't necessarily have to consult a partner or a spouse. So if anything, a spouse can be very vulnerable in situations where, you know, unless in a marital breakdown situation, they don't really have much rights. And that was an issue that came up in the National Dialogue for Women in Agriculture earlier this year, as a rapporteur, as one of the, as part of that National Dialogue, was organised by the Department of Ag and the Department of Finance. So they're focused on that, that, you know, that we'll say there is vulnerability there on farms where ownership isn't in joint names.
Now, I don't mean to divulge too much into Hannah's life, but Hannah's mother and her grandmother both agreed she could avoid all the complications of a prenup by simply not getting married. But if Hannah was to live with somebody, she actually has more rights. Is that correct?
It's a brilliant point, because like currently there is a type of prenup in a situation.
Sorry, one
where...
second. Sorry, Hannah. Go ahead. Go ahead, Ashley.
There is a type of prenup in a non-marital situation, in that in the Certain Rights and Obligations of Cohabitants Act, if you've been living with somebody in an intimate and committed relationship for 5 years, you can have a type of prenup. So and there's a redress scheme for what's called a financially vulnerable dependent, and that reduces to a 2-year period if there's a child of that relationship. So that's kind of bit of a nonsense, really, that you can have a prenup in a situation where you're not married, and yet you can't have one in a situation where you are married. So so marriage or not marriage is not necessarily the solution or the answer either.
Maybe it's the conscious uncoupling. What do you think?
I'd hope it wouldn't put Hannah off.
No, let's not do that. There's so much to talk about there, Aisling. And I really appreciate you coming on to our programme this morning, because I do understand there's a little matter of an under six camogie match calling you. Who's playing and who are they against?
I have two daughters, 5 and 3. Are playing, they've training this morning, and then the 6-year-old is heading off to a blitz in Kilmaley. So mother duties and father duties call.
Well, look, the best of luck to them all. Enjoy it. And that's Aisling Meehan of Aisling Meehan Agricultural Solicitors. And remember, you just have to have a chat with your own solicitor. They'll be able to advise you on your own circumstances.